A new survey shows that for the first time, a quarter of the top 100 companies on the New Zealand Stock Exchange, the NZX, include a woman on their board of directors. But the tally has passed a quarter only just. And the former Equal Opportunities and Employment Commissioner, now AUT academic, Judy McGregor, says the push for gender parity on boards of directors has stalled. The survey out today shows that 25.9% of the top 100 companies have women on the board, compared with 24.1% last year and 22.1% in 2017. But that still means of the 631 directors on the boards of these companies, only 164 are women. 11 of the top 100 companies have no female directors at all. That's down from 20 companies with no woman on the board in 2018. It's the seventh time the survey's been done since 2007. It's been compiled by Judy McGregor, now head of AUT's School of Social Sciences and Public Policy. Good morning, Judy.
Marina Catherine.
This has been a push that the heads of the stock exchange and other senior business leaders have committed to, right?
Rhetorically, yes. I think there has been in New Zealand probably strong discussion about the need, not necessarily followed by active implementation. So, for example, the NZX has got a diversity policy, but when it was introduced, it really was only a shadow of the one that the Australian Stock Exchange had introduced, for example. And we set very low targets for ourselves. For example, the corporate sector began a 25% club. And I spoke out about that at the time, saying, well, why not a 50% club? Because in the UK, which is not renowned for quick movement on gender parity, had set a 30% club. So we were already 5% shy. So I think we've been very strong on rhetoric and much feebler and weaker on implementation.
The Stock Exchange, it was 7 years ago, I think, that it began requiring disclosure of the diversity on boards.
It began, yes, it said that if you had a diversity policy, you had to report on it. But there were two things wrong with that. One is that many companies for quite a long time didn't have diversity policies, therefore didn't report. Now most of them do, but some of them are very cookie-cutter template, follow the example that's been given to them type of diversity policies. And when we looked for something more than gender and wrote to the 100 companies asking what other diversity, like ethnicity, could you report, only 44 of the 100 bothered to respond to us.
What is the rationale? They're boards of directors. They have their fiduciary duty. They have their responsibility to their shareholders, their listed companies. What is the rationale that's been put to them that they have, slight slip of the tongue, sorry, that they have at least nominally accepted? What is the business argument?
I think the business argument that most New Zealanders accept is around fairness. So most New Zealand companies, in terms of reputation, want to be seen as fair. But however, we have lagged, I think, particularly in the private sector, around any true embracing of all sorts of diversity of perspective on boards of directors. So that's been, it's sort of like a cultural turnoff. Whereas if you look at government statutory bodies, we're up to 47.7%. I mean, that's, you know, and we are praised worldwide and globally for that achievement. It's not quite 50% yet, but it will be soon. So we can do it when we're looking at the public sector. There's a pool of women, a catchment of highly experienced professional women that are making it onto governance positions in the private sector. And don't forget, New Zealand corporatised, you know, many crown companies a decade ago, so it's not as if it's a different, it's highly different. In fact, it could be argued to be harder work in the public sector than it is in the private sector. But we just don't seem to have had that cultural mind shift in the private sector.
Well, let's look through the numbers. How much have things improved this year?
Well, I suppose I've been doing it, actually, I started this work 22 years ago in 1997 when I wrote my first bit with some young academics at Massey University. And in those days, it was only 4.4% of the top 200 companies in New Zealand. So, you know, we've travelled away in 20 years, but it's only 1 or 2 percentage point increases every year. And there are far too many companies, I think, with only one female, and that's a sort of one and done attitude, which is a worry too, because all the research shows that a critical mass is required for companies to benefit from true diversity.
All right, so some improvement, but not at the speed. And I think you've projected that if you were going to aim for 50%, how long would it take?
Well, you know, it'll take at least a decade. By then, I may not be around to do the census report. And I've been watching it because my interest began because I was on an early media governance board, and I was quite shocked at the fact that I was a token. So my interest came out of, you know, a long time ago, being on a board of directors and knowing that I was really there to make the tea. And that sort of early shock at being the only woman in a room prompted my academic interest in measuring and naming and shaming and in praising the very good companies. I mean, there are some, and we list them in our report, very, very good companies like Spark New Zealand with 50% of its 8 directors are female, as well as a CEO and a chair.
There are some that skew the figures, aren't there? There's 8 smart shares companies in the top 100. Smart Shares is a female board chair. That female chair is counted 8 times. So yes, the number we have is actually inflated.
It is. And I think it's disappointing. You mentioned that there has been championing by NZX and the corporate sector. But in fact, I don't think it's been proper leadership around diversity of directors. And I think if you look across to Australia, where there has been very pronounced shareholder activism, particularly from the superannuation sector, I think that that is the thing that may have to drive increased diversity on boards in New Zealand. And in fact, Simplicity, our partner in this research, has committed by 2022 to be asking directors of boards why they haven't improved diversity in governance.
I do recall when discussing this, and I'm wary because I can't remember the exact name of the person involved, but it was a discussion around this push. It was a discussion around the NZX saying, if you have a policy on diversity, you now must report. And the rationale, when I asked for the rationale of more women and more diversity in general on boards, the business leaders said, well, women still mostly do the shopping. That wasn't that long ago. And when you talk to these business leaders, do you still find attitudes or perspectives that surprise even you, given their seniority?
I think if you looked across the board, there would be some sectors that are faster moving than other sectors. It's always a surprise to me that if you have food and wine and, you know, tourism, etc., those sectors where, if you think about female consumer power, it may be dominant. For example, I do remember trying to urge a major chicken producer in New Zealand to finally embrace diversity with a woman on its, you know, board, because I happened to point out and do some figures and work out that about 80% of chicken sales in supermarkets were made by women.
But isn't that part of the problem, Judy? Because you don't want a woman on the board because she knows how other women shop, surely.
I think what you want on the board, Catherine, is diversity of perspectives. If you look at all the research, particularly in European countries where they've got gender equality ratio legislation, mandated legislation like Norway, you know, Iceland, France, Italy, the research shows that when you have a critical mass of women on the board, it improves both accounting returns and market performance. So when there's a critical mass, there's been a positive correlation in terms of financial performance. So that alone should encourage businesses to adopt a greater, wider diversity of perspective.
Presumably because when there's a critical mass, you get beyond being the token tea maker and you're actually having a cohort made up of whomever who challenges the status quo or represents a genuine perspective different to the status quo and the sort of power relationships that develop in any group.
Absolutely. Animal sort of perhaps listening approach, wider perspectives, different viewpoints, you know, not just zig but zag. So all of those things.
Let's look at the boards that have no, the companies that have no female directors, 11 of them, which is down from 20 on a year ago.
It is. So that's encouraging. And the way in which we do it annually may sound as though we're making great gains. It's just that can we in 2019 really support, and would you support as an investor, companies that had no diversity on their boards?
So those that have none, I've just got them in front of me. Can you name some of them? Have you got them in front of you?
New Zealand King Salmon, Foley Wines, JP Morgan Global Growth, Augusta Capital, CBL Corporation, CDL Investments.
Restaurant brands,
Scott Technology, the Colonial Motor Company, Turner's Automotive Group, Vital Healthcare Property Trust. And just as a contrary, the very good ones with more than 50% or more were Auckland International Airport, A2 Milk Company, Spark, Somerset Group Holdings, Tourism Holdings, and Carmel Fisher's companies, which have always been exemplars in terms of gender equity, Kingfish and Marlin Global.
Why do you say it's stalling?
I think it's stalling because there was a particular impetus. I think 3 or 4 years ago, I felt that there was an impetus, greater corporate embracing of the need and a greater corporate embracing of the benefits of diversity. I think that argument now has become, you know, more muted. We don't have pronounced leadership around it. We may have Champions for Change and Global Women and lots of groups trying hard, but honestly, it hasn't improved from a sort of 1 to 2 percentage point gain annually. And we're behind Australia, who are nearly at 30%. I noticed that the UK, the 30% group in the UK have now announced just very recently that they're at 30%. So these are countries that are sort of not regarded as good as New Zealand in relation to gender equality.
And so why are they doing it? Has anyone deep dived into why they are doing it?
Now, in Australia, it was the spike that they've hit, which went up to about 29.7, is definitely around investor activism by the Australian superannuation sector. In 2015, they wrote to companies saying, we would vote against directors that fail to move towards better gender diversity. And I think that had a profound effect. So I think there are new forms of gender, of shareholder activism, and one of those relates to gender as well as climate change and other social movements. So I think that may be something that will propel us further forward more quickly.
You mentioned the question of the ethnicities of board members or other kinds of diversity. You had very little response. If you did extrapolate the results of the 44 responses out of 100 you did receive, well, let's forget the statistical validity, but what did it look like?
In about a quarter of the companies that responded, they were genuine and tried to provide us with the information required because they could see why we were doing it. Then there were some companies that were as defiant as they used to be about gender. So I used to, say 5 or 6 years ago, get some terribly patronising and really sort of indifferent responses from corporate leaders when I asked about gender. That was a similar theme, I think, in some of the responses we received about ethnicity. And then there was the sort of, well, you know, we don't ask and it's impolite to ask and therefore you shouldn't know. So there was a wide variety of responses, but quite a, I think, uncomfortable level of indifference.
You'll do it again next year?
Oh dear, I'm hoping to be able to retire. I thought a decade ago I could hang up the pen, but I suppose by continuing to record it, it does provide some evidential basis for arguments around why diversity would increase both company reputation, financial performance, and just our look of New Zealand Inc.
That wasn't a yes or a no.
I always say no the week that the report comes out because it's vaguely depressing and it is quite a time-intensive task. But 10 months on, I'll probably be back in it again, Catherine.
Talk to you then. Judy McGregor, thank you very much. She is AUT's School of Social Sciences and Public Policy, of course, previously an Equal Opportunities and Employment Commissioner and previously a senior career in the media, both as an editor and on boards.